going to preach on 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 to 4. The reason I chose this because after the elders' retreat, much prayer, going to evangelism, and I have a couple sermons that I could have picked, and I got the call, and I talked to Greg, I talked to Marlon, and they confirmed with what I would want to do, and which is that's the desire that I want to do. And so just to help the church with evangelism, as well as if you have family members that you need to talk to them. I think oftentimes we are doing the wrong thing as believers. We want to talk to our family members, colleagues, or other people we know, friends, so that they could vote the right candidates, pass certain laws, or do certain thing to shape the world. I believe that as believers, we are called. We're called to bring the gospel to people so that they would love Christ, honor him, and give him glory. And that's what we should do. And to do that, we need to know what the gospel is. So I title my sermon today, The Gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Redemptive Plan to Save Sinners. And let me read the text. You can follow along. And this is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which you also received, in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time. I just pray and ask that, one, help me to communicate clearly to the congregation. Two, that they will listen actively and appropriate the message today into their own life. And three, that they would be obedient to the Great Commission, that you will be honored and glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, the title of my sermon is The Gospel of Jesus Christ, God's Redemptive Plan to Save Sinners. And the outline is following. One, knowing the gospel. That's verse one. Two, the gospel saves people from what? Verse two. Three, the elements of the gospel. Verses three to four. Knowing the gospel, verse one, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand. The phrase make known also means to become known, be recognized, to know, to gain knowledge of, and have or have thorough knowledge of. My question is to all of us, do you know the gospel of Jesus Christ or the gospel? Can you explain the gospel so that another person, especially a non-believer, could understand it? Have you thought about that? Is that why we are reluctant to share the gospel message? So what is the gospel? The Greek word for gospel is euangelion. It is translated as gospel, gospel of Christ, gospel of God, and gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel occurs 76 times in 73 verses in the New Testament. The English word gospel derives from the Anglo-Saxon word God's spells, which can mean either a story of God or a good story. The latter meaning is harmony with the Greek word translated in gospel, euangelion, which means good news. The central message of Christianity is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel reveals that God has come and won the victory for us. It is good news precisely because it is not about what we have done or can do, but what God has done and will do on our behalf and on behalf of his people. The gospel declares divine intervention into a hopeless world. The gospel announces the good news of the coming of Jesus Christ. Approximately 2,000 years ago, God sent his son into human history in order to save people from every nation, from their sins and misery. Christ was received by the Spirit of God in the womb of a virgin and was born Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man. Jesus came to bear the sins of fallen men and women and to offer his life as a sacrifice in our place. His death satisfied the demands of God's justice against sinners and made it possible for a just God to pardon them. Christ's resurrection 3 days later testified that he, Jesus, is the Son of God, that God accepted his death as a full payment for our sin. Now all people may be fully forgiven, reconciled to God, and receive eternal life through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Through this great work of salvation, God has revealed to us who he is. Romans 1:16. Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jews first and also to the Greek." Some of your translation would be Gentile. from the definition of the word gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is good news. If the gospel is good news, it begs the question, is there bad news? Yes. There is absolutely bad news. And it is frightening. That is the reason why the gospel of Jesus Christ is such good news. Let us look at the bad news. So we'll go to verse 2. By which also you are saved, if you hold fast to the word which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. So the gospel saves people from what? You ever ask? Why we say, are you saved? You talk about God saved me. Saved from what? Before people can really appreciate and embrace the good news, they must know and understand the bad news. This is like understanding the deadly disease, let's just say cancer, will give the patient no hesitation to take the medicine. To grasp the bad news, people must understand the character of God, who God is. It's not that God has the best day for you. It is who he is. Two, the character of humanity, who people are, who are we, who we are. So the character of God, to understand the gospel, we must understand something about God. God is not an impersonal force or energy all around us, but the personal creator as Lord of all. The Bible teaches us that the only true God exists as a Trinity. Father, Son, that's Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. The reference, biblical reference for that is Matthew 3, 16 to 17, Matthew 28, verse 19. There are three distinct persons who are distinguishable from one another, yet they are one being, not three. John 10, 30 to 33. They share one divine essence with the same divine qualities. They are all equal. From the scripture, we know that God is the creator of the universe, humans, animals, plants, and everything visible and invisible. Genesis 1. God is the lawgiver. Genesis 2, 16 to 17. God commanded Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree. God is love. 1 John 4, 8. God is holy. Isaiah 6, 3. God is righteous. Psalm 11, 7. And God is just. Deuteronomy 32, 4. The Bible teaches us that God is love. His love moves him to freely and selfishly give himself to others for their benefits, that benefit and good. It is important to understand that God's love is much more than an attitude, an emotion, or something that he does. Instead, love is an attribute of God. His very being or nature. God not only loves, he is love. He is the essence of what God, what love is. Don't fall to phrase love is love. That's not true. And all true love flows from Him as its ultimate source. Often associated with God's love are benevolence, mercy, grace, and patience. God is holy. The word communicates the idea of being separated, marked off, a place apart. With regard to God, it has two important meanings. One, or first, it means that God is above all His creation and is totally distinct from every created being. Regardless of their splendor of other beings on earth and in heaven are mere creatures. God alone is God, separate, transcendent, incomparable. Second, the holiness of God means that He is above or separate from the moral corruption of His creation and from all that is profane and sinful. God cannot sin, cannot take pleasure in sin, and cannot have fellowship with sin. God is righteous. The word righteous tells us that the moral excellence of God, God is absolutely righteous being and always acts in a way that is perfectly consistent with who He is. There's nothing wrong or incorrect about God's nature or His works. He will never be or do anything that would justify any accusation of wrongdoing against Him. His works, decrees, and judgments are absolutely perfect. That's some of the character of God. I challenge each one of you, if you want to love God, you want to love the triune God, study the attributes of God. It will blow your mind and you will come to love God more and more. The character of humanity, who people are. Before Adam and Eve, the first parents of humanity, fell into sin, man's original state was noble. Genesis 1:31 talk about after God see and everything was very good, after He created everything. But after Adam's fall, man's present condition is desperate, hopeless. Adam and his wife disobey God. You can see that in Genesis 2:16-17 and 3:6. As a result, a nature corrupted by Adam's sin has been transmitted to people of all ages. Thus, they are sinners by nature, by choice, and by divine declaration. Since then, all humans have fallen into spiritual death, Ephesians 2:1. Because all humans are in Adam, they are morally corrupt, depraved, guilty, condemned, inclined toward evil, and hostile toward God. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sin. You could also Romans 5:19, Romans 3:10-12. So the bad news is, that in the sight of God, or in the eyes of God, the holy, righteous, and just people are sinners. And they are under his wrath, anger, and judgment by divine declaration because of their sins. God's wrath and judgment for sinners is eternal separation from him, from God, to the lake of fire. A place known as hell with fiery and tormenting conditions. This eternal separation from God will take place after they physically die without Jesus Christ as their Savior. Just think about that. One of the most truest statistic, it is a known fact that 10 out of 10 people die. After death, people who are non-believers will face God's wrath and judgment. Hebrews 9:27. So what is that people are being judged on after they die? We talked about it. Their sins. Every person has sinned against God. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. According to James, if a person breaks one of God's law, he breaks all of it. So ask yourself, have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? When I was in the camp. People are doomed when they measure themselves against God's law or standards. Trying to be good is not enough. God demands perfection from people to be right with him. Perfection. By their own efforts, people are hopeless. Trying to be right with God? No. Every person needs to know this bad news. And they should be concerned and fearful about it. Because there is absolutely nothing they can do about it. People have no cure for the disease called sin. God is serious about punishing sinners. The text I read this morning, verse 18, talk about it. You already condemn. As a person, you're born condemned. Until you believe in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Luke 12:4-5, I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one, it's capital O, who, after he killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So let's look at the elements of the gospel. Verses 3 to 4, for I delivered to you as first importance what I also received, not that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scripture. Here, Apostle Paul clearly stated the three elements that are essential and unique to the gospel according to the scripture. First, Christ died for our sins. That is the death or the cross. Two, he was buried, the burial. Three, he was raised on the third day, the resurrection. Beloved, let me remind you this. This is what changed my whole perspective of Christianity when I start looking what is the truth out there. The resurrection. There is no other religion or faith that contains these three elements regarding its founder, especially resurrection. You follow me on that? None. They were all dead and buried. But no resurrection, only Christianity. There was a resurrection. It is so crucial to point out the resurrection when we talked to others about the gospel. Oftentimes we just let that go, but that is so important. The death. Let's look at the death. Christ died for our sins. The good news is that people sin against God, and because their depraved conditions, they absolutely cannot do anything on their own to satisfy God's anger. They rightly deserve God's wrath and judgment. However, because God is love, he's so loving and gracious, he had provided a way to save them from his wrath by sending his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to earth to die on their behalf. Jesus was not just a man. He is fully God and fully man. He is God incarnate, God in human form, the express image of the Father, who without ceasing to be God, became man in order that he might demonstrate who God is and provide the means of salvation for people. John 1:1, John 1:14, Colossians 1:15, John 10:30, 33. Upon the cross, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, offered himself as a sacrifice for his people's sin. Jesus' death on the cross illustrates two important realities. First, it illustrates the greatness of man's hostility toward God. Second, it illustrates the greatness of people's sin against God. You got hostility and sin against God. Hang in there, I got my paper mixed up. We'll get there. People's sins against God were so deplorable, and the penalty against people so severe that they could be paid for only through the indescribable suffering and death of the Son of God. The physical suffering death that Christ endured on the cross were absolutely necessary. On the cross, Christ suffered the judgment of God. God's justice demanded satisfaction for people's sin. And his wrath was kindled against people. To satisfy God's judgment and appease his wrath, it was necessary that Christ suffer the judgment people deserve, you and I deserved. Thus, Christ bore the people's sins, became a curse in their place, was abandoned by God, and suffered the full measure of God's wrath against us. Christ suffered the wrath of God for people on the cross. Since all men are guilty of sin, they deserve God's wrath in love. However, Christ took upon the cup of God's wrath that we deserve and drank down every drop until it was completely depleted and the justice of God against us was fully satisfied. Upon the cross, Christ died in people's place. One of the greatest proofs of the judgment of God against our unrighteousness is the physical death, the separation of the soul from the body. Now that's our human's physical death. In order to save us from the power of death, it was necessary for Christ to die in our place. Christ did not as a mere martyr, but as a redeemer of sinful humanity. Christ made full payment for the sins of those who believe in him. So let's look at the burial. He was buried. We saw that in our text. All the four Gospels provide detailed account of Jesus' burial. Matthew 27, 56 to 57 to 60, Mark 15, 42 to 46, Luke 23, 50 to 54, John 19, 31 to 42, all stated that a man named Joseph Arimathea went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus and laid it in his own new tomb. That's the burial of Jesus Christ. Matthew indicates Joseph Arimathea, a rich man, who himself also became a disciple of Jesus. Mark said, Joseph is a prominent member of the council who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Luke mentioned that a member of the council, a good and righteous man who was waiting for the kingdom of God. John said being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews. John also mentioned Nicodemus, who had first come to him, Jesus, by night, was there too. So this is a proof of the resurrection, of the burial of Jesus Christ. Let's look at the resurrection. He was raised on the third day. It is the testimony of the scripture that Christ not only died for sins of his people, but that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Listen to this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundational to Christianity. If Christ was not raised, then the gospel is a myth and our faith is useless. Useless. But since Christ's resurrection is also a historical fact. It validates everything. He both claimed to be and to do on our behalf. There has never been any another person who had died and risen from the dead like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:17, Paul said, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, and you are still in your sins." That is very, very profound, beloved. I don't know about you guys, but this gives me goosebumps. Okay? The resurrection is proof. Proof that Jesus is the Son of God. In John 2:18-19, the leaders of the Jews asked Jesus for a sign to show that he had the authority to cleanse God's temple. In response, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." In Romans 1:4, Apostle Paul wrote that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. The resurrection was the Father's validation that Jesus was the eternal Son of God. The resurrection proved that God accepted Christ's death as a full payment for our sin. Romans 4:25 says that Christ was delivered up because our offenses and was raised up because our justification. The meaning of the text is that God raised Jesus Christ because his death had satisfied God's justice and secured the believer's pardon and right standing before God. That is justification. The resurrection proved that the believer's future, proof of the believer's future resurrection. In John 11:25, Jesus declared, "I am the life. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." The promise have proven and void, proven, the promise would have been proven null and void if Christ had remained in the tomb. His authority over death was demonstrated in his own resurrection. It proves that he has the power to raise life all who believe in him. 1 Corinthians 6:14, the Apostle Paul wrote, "God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power." The resurrection proved that the world has a Lord and a judge. The Bible teaches that Christ was not only raised to life, but that God exalted him to be Lord and judge over all creation. Peter declared to the Jews, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucify, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. Paul also declared this truth. "For this reason also, God highly exalted him," Jesus Christ, "and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth." Wow, I'm doing well in time. That's great. Summary, we have looked at the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's redemptive plan to save sinners. We looked at knowing the gospel. We looked at the gospel saves people from what? The elements of the gospel. In conclusion, immediately before his death, Christ declared, "It is finished." John 19:30. This brief statement was Christ's declaration of victory. By his death, he accomplished all that was necessary for humanity's salvation. The demands of God's justice against us were satisfied. And God's wrath was appeased. I was grow up in an animist culture. We do a lot of animal sacrifices. And one of the criteria is to appease angry spirits. And depend on the situation, it may be a chicken, a pig, a cow, and if it's very serious, it could be a water buffalo. So that's the bondage. God is both just and the justifier of wicked people. Romans 3:26. On the cross of Christ, mercy and truth have met. Righteousness and peace have kissed. Psalm 85:10. Now pardon and justification are available to all through faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1, 8:1, John 14:6. The Bible makes very clear that both believers and non-believers will die physically. However, listen to this. Believers have the hope, and that hope is the eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because Christ had defeated death when he died on the cross and rose from the dead, and death will be the last result of sin to be removed from this fallen world. For you, beloved, four practical components to help you as a guide when you're sharing the gospel. One, talk about who God is. He is the creator. He is the lawgiver. His attributes. Number two, talk about man. Who man is. His present conditions before the holy, righteous, and just God. Three, Jesus Christ. His works, death, burial, and resurrection. Talk about the response. Number four, that's the response. Man's response to the gospel. That is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Ask them, where are you standing? Just remember these four components when you're going to talk to somebody. Talk about God. Talk about their condition. Talk about who Christ is, what he has done, and talk about their response. So I hope this four components help you put in the frame when you talk to somebody. Here is my plea with you. If any one of you who is here with us today who has not yet believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another word, if you're not a believer, I am pleading with you that do not harden your heart. Humble yourself before the Almighty God. Repent of your sins and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that God does not wish for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So the gospel of Jesus Christ is available to you as a free gift from God. There is absolutely nothing you can do to earn your salvation, except you must believe in the gospel. That is the same as believe in Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Place your trust in Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone, for the forgiveness of your sins to receive salvation. Please know that God is holy, righteous, and just. And because his divine characters, he hates sins and will punish sinners. So I urge you not to gamble your life against God's word. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Death, heaven, hell are real. You do not know what is going to happen in the next second, minute, hour, or day. If your life will require of you right now, are you right with God? If you would have died tonight, are you right with God? Satan's lie is that you have some time. That's the lie. There's only one way to avoid God's wrath and judgment because of your sins. It is by believing the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will face God's wrath and judgment after you die physically. The Bible is very, very clear, and it teaches that there is no second chance. Hebrews 9:27. And it's as much as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6:2. So if you're not a believer yet, I'm pleading with you, repent of your sins, meaning turning away from your sins 180 degrees and believe in Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone, nothing else, for the forgiveness of your sins. If you need to talk, please see one of us, the elders or the deacons or anybody who brought you here. We stand ready to speak with you. In echoing with Jesus in many of his teaching, he often said the following to his listeners: he who has ears to hear, let him hear. My plea with you, with each of you, is the word of Jesus in John 11:25. Jesus said to her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the gospel of your Son. What a magnificent plan to save wretched sinners like us. Oh, Father, we're so grateful as we understand that there is absolutely nothing we could do to save ourselves. Our very best of everything we do is a filthy rag to you. So thank you. Thank you for sending your Son to die on our behalf and to satisfy your wrath. Oh God, help us to remember that and help us not to be complacent about the gospel, because it is the power for salvation. To the Jews and to the Greek, we have so many people that need to hear the gospel. So give us boldness, give us the faith, and give us the desire to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, our friends, family members, loved ones who are not believers. Father, we thank you that you will answer our prayer accordingly. For we pray in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.